I'm utterly convinced that God has given me a message to deliver today as much as I've ever been convinced. And so, to that end, I'm as nervous today as I've been in a long time because I believe God has given a message for His church. And I just want to get out of the way and let Him speak to us today. And so if you have your Bible, would you turn to Psalm 92? Psalm 92, as you're turning there, about 2 months ago, you were gracious enough to allow me some time off. And I'm grateful for that because I needed it. If I'm transparent with you, I was tired. Not the kind of tired when you get to the end of the day and you go to sleep real quick and you start snoring soon. The kind of tired of not sure if I could keep doing it. Not sure if I wanted to keep doing it. The kind of tired that makes you question a whole lot of things. And so, during that time, I did my best to turn off social media, distance myself from technology. I didn't go many places. I went and saw some preacher friends. But I really tried to take my Bible and just spend time with the Lord. And the message I want to share with you today is something that God has begun to deal with my heart about. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers. But I do believe God has taught me some things in the last 2 months. And to be honest, I mean, this is a morning of honesty. Furthermore, if I'm honest with you, I'm tired of having church. I'm tired of going through the regular Sunday routine and tired of singing the songs and preaching the messages and giving the I'm tired. I'm tired of it apart from the power of God. And some of you have been walking with the Lord a long time. You know as well as I do, there's a difference between having church and meeting with God. There's a drastic difference. And we've been in those meetings and we've been in those services where you left here and you knew, man, the Spirit of God ministered to me today. It wasn't about the song. It wasn't about which one we sang or we didn't sing. It wasn't about the translation read. It wasn't about the preacher, whether he was excited or not. It wasn't about if anybody came before. It was just, you just knew the Spirit of God met with you. And to be honest with you, I'm tired of having services apart from that. And I'm just begging God and to be... The last few Sunday nights as we've gotten together for prayer meeting, this is part of what we've been begging God for. God, we're begging you that the Spirit of God would fall on this place. That I don't want to preach another sermon apart from the power of God. I don't want to be a man that is serving Him, just serving in our own strength. I don't want to be a follower of God who just, man, gets up in the morning and finds a way to get to the end of the day. Just find a way to get to the recliner. Just find a way to get to supper so I can sit there and mindlessly scroll through a TV or whatever it is my pastime is. Listen to me, believer. There has to be, oh God, let there be more to life than just that. I mean, don't you think, like, we live in a very comfortable society and comfortable world. And I'm fully convinced there are too many of us that are guilty going, tomorrow morning is Monday. Can I just get to the end of the day? Can I just get to Friday? Can I just get through this season of life? And all we're doing is we are existing and just making it through. And friend, I'm telling you, that's not the abundant life. That's not the life that Jesus promises to give. There's so much more to be had. And listen to me, as good old Southern Baptists, we're absolutely terrified of the indwelling and the filling of the Spirit of God and that, man, the power of God being upon an individual's life, because we run to the extremes and we think about the handling of snakes or the chaotic mess that happens sometimes. But I'm telling you, dear friend, there is a Spirit-filled life to be had. The empowerment, the Holy Ghost of God coming upon an individual, and not just living in, but the filling of the Spirit of God. There's more to be had. And I'm sick. I'm sick and tired of just making it to Monday and just making it to Tuesday. I'm sick and tired of just getting through another church service. There's more of God to be had. We have a decent sized yard at our house, and had an individual very graciously give us a big zero turn mower whenever we moved into the home. And since then, I've put some miles on it, ran it hard. I was on it recently and mowing, and noticed that it seemed to be a little louder than normal, seemed to be a little bit rougher than normal. And I realized it hadn't been greased in a while. It was getting the job done, but it was rough. And dear friend, I want to preach to you this message on fresh oil. We're going to look at Psalm 92 and verse 10. And if you found your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And I'm reading one verse today. It says, "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." I'm going to pray in just a moment, and here's what I ask you to do. As I'm praying, will you, number one, ask the Spirit of God to speak to your heart? And number two, will you ask God for fresh oil for me and you both? Let's pray. God in heaven, I ask that you would speak to us today. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me new and fresh today. And I ask, Spirit of God, for every person in this room, that you, Holy Spirit, would fill them. God, I pray we would leave here with fresh oil from the Holy Spirit of God. May it be true today. And we pray this in the power of the name of Jesus. And if you believe that and are trusting God for that, will you say amen? You may be seated. If you're taking notes this morning, following along, we're setting this context. It's in the Psalm 92 here, and those of you who know me well know that I prefer to take a text and just walk right through that text, and I tend to be more exegetical, verse by verse, let the text speak for itself. But today is absolutely 100% a topical message, because that's what God's been dealing with my heart with. And so I want to share with you some truth about that. But Psalm 92 is a psalm written by David, and just this song of celebrating the Sabbath and walking with the Lord. But I want to focus on this one phrase of Psalm 92 verse 10, "I have been anointed with fresh oil." And I want to talk to you today about the truth and reality of fresh oil from God. And so the main idea of today's sermon is there is fresh oil that comes only from God. There's fresh oil that only comes from God. There's a renewal. There's a refreshment. There's an excitement. There's a zeal. There's a healing. There's so much to be had from the hand of God. And in a moment, and in a service today, and my hope and my prayer and my pleading has been that today, that while during the service, maybe while you're sitting there, that the Spirit of God would speak to you, and man, He would give you fresh oil, that some of us, man, we would get on this altar and beg for the power of God. Because to be honest with you, as your pastor, I see it oftentimes, is there's oftentimes a barely coming into the door, and then there's a little bit of a pep going out, but it's just existing from day to day, and there's so much more to be had. And so there's fresh oil that comes from God. Then the question is this, and only you can answer this. Do you need a fresh work of God in your life? I'll be honest with you. 2 months ago, man, you better believe it. And then quite honestly, today I'm begging God for a fresh work of God. I need it today. I need it today as much as I ever have. Some might argue I might not in the same position I was 2 months ago, but I'm telling you, dear friend, I still need the activity and the power of God on my life today more so than I did yesterday. And there's more to be had. And so there's four truths I believe God has shown me from the Word of God. Four truths about oil, about fresh oil from the hand of God for us to see. Number one, fresh oil sanctifies you. It sanctifies you. Now, we don't think about the word sanctifying you in this context very often. And what I want to do is these truths about oil, I want us to see and understand what the idea is that we're going to see these truths. They come directly from the Old Testament. Because oftentimes in the Old Testament, the oil of God, the anointing of oil, that sort of, it gave the idea of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and its activity and its work. Now let me hit pause. We're going to jump a creek for just a moment, okay? Listen, at the moment of your salvation, at the moment of my salvation, the Spirit of God came and lived within me. The Bible talks about He places His seal upon us. That's the Spirit of God. October 10, 2004, the Spirit of God came and He dwells within me, and I can never lose that. That's the security of salvation. But there is a difference of then the Spirit of God living within an individual and the Spirit of God filling an individual. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk in wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit." There's a biblical command to be filled with the Spirit. In the Old Testament, we would see this fresh oil or this oil used for different things. We're going to walk through some of those this morning. And it was a symbolic picture of what the Holy Spirit of God would do in an individual's life. And so this morning, as we look at fresh oil, I want you to understand what we're talking about is the activity of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in your life and how He can minister to us. And so fresh oil sanctifies. Notice, and we're going to have these on the screen, we're going to be all over the place this morning, but 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. We're going to look at David. David was anointed as king. He was sanctified, set apart as king. 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers." And look at this. "And the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah." Look, David was anointed as a young child. David as king as a young child while Saul was still serving. David was anointed as king of Judah. David was anointed as king of all of Israel. Three different times he was anointed with oil. And did you catch what chapter 16 verse 13 said? The Spirit of God came upon him. Why? Because God had set aside David to be king of Israel. So it was not only used to anoint individuals for the office of being king, but also Elijah was anointed in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 16 to be prophet. That in he was anointed as this prophet. Leviticus 8 and verse 12, it says, "And he poured out some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him," that is to sanctify him. So what's the picture? That the oil was used to set aside and to sanctify king, prophet, and priest. It was used to set aside those individuals for the call of God on their life. And then in Acts chapter 10, we have this written about Jesus in verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed and by the devil, for God was with him. Listen to me, church family. Listen, I know some of you are saying this morning, man, I'm not Jesus. I'm not a king. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a priest in the sense of what these are used. And absolutely. But let me tell you, dear friend, that listen, God has called you. He has called you to himself. He has saved your soul. And if he has saved your soul, he has sanctified you. He has set you apart. And he has placed every one of us into the ministry. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. That the job that you have, the address that you live at, the kids that you have, the grandkids, the spouse, the church. Listen, God has called you and he has entrusted you and I with so much. He has set us apart for his own glory and to use us for his name's sake. And dear friend, if we're honest this morning, most of us are barely getting through that. Man, the wheels are whining. The pulleys are, man, they're grinding. It's tough. Why? Because we are doing so much in our own strength and our own power, and we're missing the power of God in our life. Why is life so hard? Why is life so tough? Man, some of it, now listen, there's no promise that even in the Spirit-filled life that everything's going to be glorious, everything's going to work out. That couldn't be further from the truth. But I'm telling you, dear friend, that you and I create a lot of trouble for ourselves because we're not desperate for the power of God and fresh anointing from the Spirit of God in our life. Man, I know. There's nothing on the planet that I would rather be doing than doing exactly what God has called me to do. There is not a person on the planet that could convince me I'm not exactly right where God has called me to do. Yet 2 months ago, I'm barely making it through. Why? Because I've been doing too much in my own power and in my own strength. And listen, I realize I'm a problem child. I've been a problem child my whole life. But I just am convinced there's a lot of folks here this morning, there's a lot of folks in our church that are like me, that man, you're barely making it through. You're barely surviving in your marriage. You're barely surviving parenting your kids. You're barely surviving being a caretaker. You're barely surviving. Why? Because we're doing so much in our own power and our own strength. And oftentimes, what we're thinking about is yesteryear when God worked way back when. But can I tell you, church, that the oil of God is fresh. There's fresh oil to be had. There's fresh oil to be had. When I'm sitting on that lawnmower, I had greased the pulleys once before. I had greased the unit once before, but it had run dry and it was rough. It was operating, but not at high capacity. Dear friends, many of you are living on yesteryear when God met you here once upon a time, when God spoke to you there once upon a time, and there is fresh oil to be had. Man, God sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He sets us apart. And man, some of us get so worn down and broken down, and let me tell you what happens. We begin to take steps back. And we begin to push back from the table because the grind is too much. The heat is too hot. Man, it's too difficult. And it's because the power of God is absent in our life that we struggle to fulfill certain things we need within the church, because, man, we're operating in our power and it's become too difficult, and somehow we're convinced because of our age or excess, we just can't do much anymore. And let me tell you, dear friend, man, our church hurts because of that. And I'm telling you, there's more of God to be had. We push back from things, not because it's not God's will for our life anymore. It's just because we've gotten so far from God. Man, we're not as passionate. We're struggling. Man, we begin to operate in our own power. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Not in any way to belittle or to diminish the reality of it, but our society is overwhelmed with anxiety and depression. And a lot of Christians struggle with that. And there's no doubt there are medical conditions and chemical imbalances, some things that happen that absolutely need professionals. But hear me clearly when I say this. I really believe some of those struggles come from just trying to operate in our own power and our own strength. And we really do get to dark places because we don't slow down long enough. Man, that machine, lawnmower is set apart to do its job. But if I don't slow down long enough to take care of the machine, it can't do what it was designed to do. If I would have kept running, it might have mowed it another few times, handful of times, but eventually, you know, it gets too hot, things break, it breaks down, and it no longer can function the way that it was designed to do. Can I just be honest with you this morning? Is that some of you, man, you're living life and you're just going through and you're not far from a breakdown. Can I tell you this morning, there's so much more. God can give you fresh oil today, this morning. Number one, fresh oil sanctifies you. Number two, fresh oil symbolizes favor in your life. It symbolizes favor in your life. What do you mean by that, preacher? Listen to what Psalm 23 and verse 5 says. It says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Look at this. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Hey, you know me well enough. I'm not a prosperity preacher and name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, that sort of thing. But I'm telling you, dear friend, I do believe we miss a whole lot of God's blessings and leave them on the table when we walk in the power of the flesh and not in the power of the Spirit. There's so much more to be had. There's so much more to experience in this life that we miss out on. Psalm 45 verse 7 says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions. I think one of the evidences of walking with the Lord, one of the evidences of having fresh oil and the Spirit of God and the power of God being on an individual is seeing God's blessing through, experience those fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Man, sometimes we struggle so much, and it's evident that we're away from the Lord. The power of God is not on our life, and man, joy is gone. Man, I've seen it in some of you in pastoring. It's been evident in time in my life where, man, maybe your job or the demands of your family or whatever it is has stolen your joy. Dear friend, there is fresh oil this morning to be had, and God can give you a fresh joy of His salvation. Man, you've allowed the world to steal your peace. You've allowed something to steal self-control. All of these things, and I'm telling you this morning, there is more of God to be had, and you can experience the power of God in your life this morning, and He can restore those things, and you can see the favor of God back on your life. Man, hadn't you seen it before? Haven't you seen it in some of the senior saints in your life? Where, man, it's evident, you just get around them and you can see joy and you can see peace. You can see confidence in what God is doing and how He's doing it in your life and, man, or in their life. And you're just walking, and, man, just things happen in their life that doesn't make sense. It's the favor of God upon an individual. And so there's fresh oil symbolizes favor in your life. Number three. Fresh oil soothes you. It sanctifies you. It symbolizes favor and it soothes you. What does that mean? You may just write this out next to it. It didn't start with an S, so it's medicinal. It's medicinal. In Luke chapter 10, it says, so he went to him, bandaged his wounds. This is the Good Samaritan. And notice this, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him into an inn and took care of him. He put oil on him. It was a picture of medicinal. It was fixing something. It was soothing him. It was taking care of his wounds. Modern science confirms that olive oil has an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, and ancient cultures used it for skin ailments. It was a picture of medicine in this day. And then we have this command or this admonition, this direction from the book of James. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Is anyone among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Preacher, we're Baptists. We don't do that. I got a lot of thoughts. It's biblical. But let me tell you why. Listen. It's not because of the power of the oil I put on my finger and put on somebody. It's a symbolic picture of the power of God on an individual. It's not about the oil. Now, it's a command, it's a trusting, it's believing God in His Word, and that's what He's talking about. And He says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Why is it? Because it's trusting God in what He has set out for us, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Listen to me, dear friend, the picture of oil, man, it sanctifies, it sets us apart. It shows the blessed favor of God, the joy and the gladness, the fruits of the Spirit, but it soothes us. It heals our infirmities. It heals. What are we talking about? Man, we're talking about the Spirit of God walking into the operating room and doing things that a doctor can't do. It's the Spirit of God coming upon us and protecting us, doing things medically in our lives that no medicine can do. It's trusting God for His goodness. Dear friend, there's fresh oil to be had. Some of us terrified to ask God to heal us, to ask God to work and move in our lives. To believe that God really can rid me of cancer, that God really can. Now listen to me, I can't promise you anything. But I'm telling you, dear friend, there's a reason we call Him the Great Physician. There's a reason. So, fresh oil soothes you. Number four, fresh oil shines through you. It shines. Listen to Exodus chapter 27. You shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light. He's talking about the setting up of the tabernacle. To cause the lamp to burn continually. In the tabernacle meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generation on behalf of the children of Israel. There's a command here saying, hey, as you set up the tabernacle, set these lamps there, and then you bring oil, and you put fresh oil there. That way the lamp will burn forever. It will consistently and constantly burn. When you and I are dry of fresh oil, we don't shine the light the way that God has called us to. Matthew 25, 1 through 4, it gives critique of the 10 virgins that come. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Why? It was a picture of fuel to shine the light. And now here we are in Matthew 5 verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Listen to me, dear friend, is that, man, God does all these things, and that some of us are absent of the power of God in our life. We're absent of what God wants to do. We're absent of the dunamis, the power of God. And what happens is the bowl for our lamp is dry. And it's no wonder we don't share the gospel. It's no wonder we're too embarrassed to invite people to church. It's no wonder we're no longer weeping over lost people. Why? Because the lamp is dry and the light no longer shines. Man, we used to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." We used to sing a verse that's theologically inaccurate, and we used to sing about, "I'm not going to let Satan..." Let me tell you something. Satan can't it out. He can't. You could place it right in front of his face and he can't blow it out. But let me tell you what can happen. You can live life and you can just keep trudging through the day-to-day, the mundane of life. And you can just kind of keep checking boxes. And the oil will run dry and you will have effectively put out your own light. You will have covered it up. And you'll no longer care about friends and family dying and going to hell. You'll no longer be burdened about your neighbor. You'll no longer care about missions. You'll no longer give to the mission and work of church. You'll no longer sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine." You'll no longer care about those things because we're dry. We're dry. We hear about Sharon and Kelvin. Share. About 18 people repenting of their sins and placing their faith and trust in Christ. And our response is, amen. God, have mercy on us. That ought to be some of the greatest news you've had all week, all month, all year, is hearing somebody go from death to life. That somebody heard the gospel of Jesus and they repented of their sins and place their faith and trust in life. That ought to compel us. It ought to boil something up deep down in our soul that causes us to rejoice and to thank God and all these sort of things. And listen, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the excuses going, "Well, preacher, I'm just kind of shy." Yeah, you let the Razorback score a touchdown in a few weeks and you'll act like you got no sense. But man, we hear about somebody giving their life to Jesus. Man, that's good. That's good. Good. The oil is dry. The lamp is dry. And all I can tell you, friend, there's fresh oil and a fresh work to be had. And only God can do it. I can't preach hard enough. I can't holler loud enough. I can't run around enough. Lord knows I can't sing well enough to conjure up the power of God. But I know this. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And we're going to have a moment just here in a few minutes. You have an opportunity to ask God, to beg God. You know, the Bible likened the Father. Use the comparison where you have the unjust judge and the widow asking for restitution, things to be made right. She kept going to him and wouldn't listen, and finally he responded. And Jesus says, if we'll be like that woman, God will answer. If we'll keep seeking, we'll keep knocking, keep asking, God will work. I'm telling you, dear friend, my hope and prayer is that we get all to this altar and we beg God to move. But to be honest with you, I'm afraid most of us are well past the point of being willing to get uncomfortable and asking God to work and move. And that's between you and the Lord. So here's the invitation. If you need to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ, today is a day of salvation. Some maybe don't even have the foggiest idea what it means to be experience the power of God. You need to be saved today. Some of us in the room, let's not live on yesterday's manna. There's more to be had. There's a fresh work. There's a fresh oil. And my invitation to you is, if you're physically able, when we pray in a moment, you come, get on this altar, and beg God to work. If you can't, come sit on one of these pews. Come stand near the altar. Whatever it is you can do, that's God knows whether you can or not. But I'm telling you right now, if you're physically able, you say, hey, Pastor Chris, man, I'm good. Man, praise God. Then will you be praying for your church? Pray for somebody. Hey, pray for me. I don't know anybody else this morning that'd say, hey, I need the power of God on my life. If you don't have anybody to pray for, man, pray for me. I'm sure there's plenty of others that'd say, I need that. I need a fresh work. So if you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes.